Walker. What? I didn't do anything. I'm just holding the microphone, Luke. You have the power. You know you did that to me. Well, I think the microphone's not used to me anymore. That's what's going on. It's nice to see all of you this evening. I need something here, Luke, if you could, in the monitors. Thanks. We obviously have a lot of people on vacation, but I saw a lot of you new faces here this evening, too, so I want to give you a special welcome. All of you, thank you for coming out on a Friday night. I know there's a lot of things you could do on a Friday night besides come to church, and I appreciate you coming to the Rock tonight. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer, and then I have hopefully just a message to encourage your heart this evening. Father, we just thank you today that you are going to return and that all the craziness, Lord, of this world, it'll be done. It'll be over. It'll be gone. All the disease and all the pain and all the wars and all the injustices, all the frustrations and all the aggravations, all of the sorrow, all of the work, it'll be done. It'll be done. And we'll live in a new earth and a new heaven, new galaxies, new constellations, new stars, in bodies that never grow weary or tired or worn or sick. No relationship problems, no suspicions, no evil. Nothing out of place, nothing dead or dying, nothing broken. Lord, we say, come quickly. Boy, it'd be great. It'd be great with me, Lord, to wake up tomorrow morning and be with you. It'd be great if you came in the middle of the night. You know, you just came, and here you are, reigning on this planet. But until that time, Lord, we just thank you for the great encouragement that you give to us through the Word of God. And we pray tonight, Lord, that you'd encourage our hearts. I know there are many people here tonight that are going through some very challenging situations. So I pray that your word this evening would bless and encourage us in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight, I wanted to share really kind of a very personal message with you. Some things the Lord's been doing with me that I thought might be real encouraging for you and helpful. Last November 2nd was kind of the pinnacle of the last decade of my life. I'm not going to go into all the details, but many of you know that I had a daughter that was extremely sick for almost 7 years of the decade. And then, through much prayer and much perseverance and many, all kinds of complications, for about 4 years, she just got better and better. And last November 2nd, she got married. And I have a picture at home. I carry it around in my bag. Actually, it's back in my bag of that day. And standing outside with her before the old wedding, she wanted me to be the first one to see her in her dress. And so they took a picture. I don't really like pictures, but I thought, well, I'll let them take a picture of this. You really can't refuse a bride anyway. So, I just thought, Lord, a new chapter in my life is finally begun. After almost 10 years, a new chapter has begun. And so November came and went, and December came, and Faith Walkers came, and January came. I had a couple conferences scheduled, and I was in Indianapolis, or Florida. I think it was Florida. And I just called home, and I had given Kathy the motel number that I was at. I don't carry a cell phone. So she called, and she said, Mark, I have some difficult news. I thought it'd just be best to call you. And, you know, I kind of braced myself, but I really thought to myself in the back of my mind, after 10 years I've been through, what could be so bad? And I was, you know, really on cloud nine. I mean, it just, God was just... Some really wonderful things happened. She said, well, Jessica got hit this morning by a drunk driver. And my stomach went to my throat. It was 11 o'clock on a Saturday morning. Nothing like that should happen. And the car was totaled, and her collarbone was fractured, and her shoulder was separated. And I knew, I just knew intuitively, I just knew, well, this ain't going to end tomorrow. This is going to be one of those trials again. And so, without going into all the details, things started to happen, and other things started to happen, and then with another child, now, I've told you this before, and the devil knows this, he knows this about all of us, but there's nothing more difficult than when the devil touches my family. Nothing. You can take me through anything, but touch my family, and it gets really very, very difficult on me emotionally. So the next thing you know, one of my sons has a tremendous trial, and I'm like, whoa, and this one hasn't ended. And then another son has a tremendous trial. And then my wife last month had 3 surgeries in 1 month, and 2 of them had to be done over again. One of them had to be done over again. And I'm like, wow, Lord. So anyway, before we got to the surgeries, about March or April, I found myself with this inner desire that, Lord, I don't want to go to the places I went before. And what I mean by that is the sorrow. I don't want to go there. And I want to face these situations, Lord, with a renewed, refreshed vigor and faith and trust and peace and joy. But and so I'm as I'm saying this, I'm in my garage. I spend a lot of time in my garage. My office is out in my garage, and early morning, I often pray in my garage, walking around and around in circles when I don't go outside. But this one particular day, I was coming undone. And I mean, emotionally, just undone. And my mind was racing. And I have a bad habit. Worry is a bad habit. I am a solution kind of guy. I am a problem-solving kind of guy, but I'm also the kind of guy that rolls a thing over and over in my head. And I don't know, maybe I'm one of those obsessive-compulsive people. Maybe I am, maybe I'm not. Doesn't really matter. Worry can affect us all. And so I'm seeing all these things, and I'm seeing every single scenario. And unfortunately, not always, but many times, the scenarios in my head become real. And I'm like, what? I knew it. You know, and I like to claim the verse in Proverbs that says, a wise man sees danger ahead and hides himself. And for whatever reason, I see danger ahead sometimes. And when that happens, and I'd be the first to admit this, I have a very difficult time obeying the Word of God. I have a very difficult time giving thanks in everything. And have a very difficult time, consider it complete joy when you have trials of various kinds. I wonder sometimes if, did the Holy Spirit mess that up that day? Or did the writer scribble the wrong words? Of course he didn't, but I'm just telling you, you know, how my mind goes sometimes. So I begin to pray, and then whenever I pray, I also open my Bible, and I seek the Lord. And so I've not gotten too deep into this. I've not gotten down the road too far of worry and sorrow, and I just have this determination that, Lord, I want to go about this stronger, better, in a greater way of faith. And so, Lord, I need you to speak to me, and I need you to help me, and I need you to encourage me. I need you to show me, I guess, call it the yellow brick road through all of this. So I opened my Bible to Philippians chapter 4. And I've been carrying around this little New Testament for a long, long time, over 30 years. It's my favorite. And I often take it out and, you know, I just found it so interesting today. This is this little Mark Darling tangent. How devoted people are to their smartphones these days. Have you noticed how many people will literally be walking their dog like this? And I'm thinking to myself, you know, what would happen if Christians were that devoted to our little New Testament as we're walking down the street? Just what would happen, you know? What would happen? Of course, maybe you're reading your Bible on your smartphone. That's cool. I guess it can be used for that. But I came to this verse. Be joyful in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Always. I underlined that. Always, always, Mark. Lord, I admit to you, I have trouble with always. Be known by the people for your considerateness. The Lord is near. Entertain no worry, but under all circumstances, let your petitions be made known before God by prayer and pleading along with thanks. So the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will keep guard over your heart and your thoughts in Christ. And I began to just ponder the word entertain. And I began to realize, you know, when you entertain people, when you have them in your home or you're entertaining, you usually always include food. And you feed them. You feed them your food. And I began to think about that with worry, how easy it is for me with worry, things that really matter to me. There's a lot of things. I have a list at home. I pray over the list. I really do. But I've been determined, Lord, I'm not going to worry about this list in there. There are church things, there are regional things I'm involved in, there's some heavy situations going on, and then there's my family. And the Lord just said to me, Mark, don't entertain these worries. Don't entertain them. Don't sit them down. Don't be hospitable with them. Don't make them feel nice and comfortable. Don't welcome them. Don't feed them. Because they become this devour, and they metastasize. And they grow and they just devour, I'll just admit it, they devour my energy. They just devour it. And before you know it, on the inside, I'm just bleak. I mean, it just guts me. So I'm reading this passage and I'm asking the Lord, I really want to get a new handle on this. And as I was reading this passage, I remembered a song we used to sing when I was a young believer. It's taken from Psalm 121. So I thought, well, the Lord reminded me of that. I'm going to go and I'm going to read it. I lift up my eyes towards the mountains. Where will my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to slip. He won't let you fall, Mark. Your keeper will never slumber. Behold, the keeper of Mark will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper, Mark. The Lord is the shade at your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He'll preserve your soul. The Lord will shield your going out and your coming in from now on and forevermore. And I read this verse, this passage, and I began to think about it in a very different way. I happened to be sitting in my garage. It was very early in the morning. It was 4 a.m. And it was garbage day. I had my garage door open because I don't have air conditioning in my office, so I was trying to let the cool air get into my office. And I happened to look out my door, and I saw that the garbage can's out on the street, and I thought to myself, wow, you know, Lord, I've been to countries where the garbage guys just decide, the government decides not to fund the garbage trucks, and they don't come for months. And your garbage stacks up and it starts to stink and you get maggots and flies and it's just bad. And so I don't know, I just thought to myself, oh Lord, I'm really glad the garbage guys come once every 7 days. And then this thought hit me again. This is God working, but it's gonna go somewhere. And then it just hit me, well, Lord, you know what? Boy, I guess I'm really glad that they're on the job. They show up. They do their job. And then I thought, but you know, they're not really always on the job. They only come once every 7 days. And then after an 8-hour shift, the guys go home and they go on vacation and they go to the bathroom and they take a break and they get distracted and they get bored. And then it hit me. God never stops working. God never stops to take a break. God never goes on vacation. God never gets bored. God never gets distracted. God never flubs up his job. God is not just passively watching over us, but God is working over our lives. He's working on them. 24/7. His job is you. And I just started rolling this around in my mind over and over. God, you know, wow. Don't worry, God will work this out. Don't worry, Mark, God will work this accident thing out. Don't worry, God will work this out. Don't worry, God will work that out. And I thought, you know, I really need to start thinking like that, because often I think, yes, me and God will work it out. But when it comes to my family, let me just be real honest. This is why it's always very heavy. I'm dad, I'm protector, and the chances are this is going to fall on my shoulders and I'm going to have to help figure it out. And I love my children. And I love the believers here. And I know many of them. And then what was really wild is all of a sudden many of you were going through, man, unbelievable trials. And I just started to ask myself, do I really believe this? Do I really believe the maker of heaven and earth, God is on my case, that God is on my job, that God is my representative, that God is going to work this out? Let it go, Mark. Just let it go. The man is on the job. I do not worry on Wednesday morning that the trash guy is coming. I just take it out. If I need more room, I get in the garbage and I jump up and down on it, push it way down, then I add more. And they come every year, every week. For 15 years, they take my garbage. And I thought to myself, honestly, I'm just being honest. Being really honest, I've never worried 1 week about the garbage. Boy, have I worried about a lot of other stuff. And someone a lot bigger and more powerful and loving and wise and good is on the job besides the garbage man. His name is God. And I began to realize that, boy, Mark, you know, you and Doubting Thomas, you have a lot in common. You see, leading up to Jessica's wedding, I'm going to describe something to you. And then her wedding, I felt free. Don't misunderstand. I didn't feel free because I'm getting rid of her. That's not what I mean. She's my last child to marry. So all four married. It wasn't that. It was that I felt unbridled joy. I mean, I was just ecstatic. I mean, I'm just, wow, thank you, Lord, for this. Oh, blessing here, blessing there. Thank you for that, God. Look at this blessing over here. There were still some trials, but I wasn't paying attention. But then, when God touched the apple of my eye again in February, I knew, oh my gosh, oh, no, you're kidding me, Lord. I remember just I was in my motel room. I'm like, oh, you're kidding me. We're just like he was right in the room. I'm like, you got to be kidding me, Lord. You got to be kidding me, Lord. Are you out of your mind? How can you do this? You know, these were my reactions inside. And then it just one thought, and then another one, and then another one, and then another one. And I'm like, okay, wait a minute. I just wait a minute. I'm not going down that road. I'm not going down in the hole anymore, Lord. Okay, so I think, Lord, that you want me to have, this is difficult. Maybe you're not there yet, and I'm still growing. See, I want you to know, I'm still growing in my own faith. But I began to realize that, Lord, I think you'd want me to find somehow a place of joy in the middle of these trials that was like the joy I had before they came. And that was real hard for me to try to get my hands around. And they're still going on tonight, right, by the way, as I speak. And I just began every morning in my garage. I've told you about my prayer walks. Now I've been taking my prayer walk around in circles in the garage. I don't know, I'll tell you why. The reason is because I've been being a little louder because of the trials. And I didn't want people at 4 a.m. around the neighborhood to think a lunatic was loose. So I've been staying in confined like a tiger in his cage in my garage. And I walk for an hour round and round and round and talk. And I talk, me and God talk. And I just thought, you know what, Lord? No, I'm thanking you. I'm thanking you for every one of these. I'm thanking you. Thank you she got hit, Lord. Thank you she lost the job, Lord. She hadn't been able to work in 8 years and you gave her a job, you took it. Well, thank you, Lord. You took it. Thank you, you took the car. You totaled the car. Thank you, Lord. Well, Mark had to take a leave of absence. I don't know what he's going to do for a job. Thank you, Lord. Somehow you're going to provide. Yeah, thank you, Lord. You flooded Micah's basement. That's cool, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know what you brought the rain. You're in charge of the rain. Lord, I got to trust you with the rain. And I just started going through the list. And I just started and I just started working over my heart. And then I just started saying, Lord, thank you. You are the God of the universe. You are the God who made heaven. You're the God who made earth. And you're on the job. You're on the job for Jessica. You're on the job for Mike. You're on the job for Jeremy. You're on the job for Kathy. You're on the job for my you're on the job for Jason and Joy. You're on the job. You're on the job. Now then, here's what hit me. Okay? So I'm doing this, and by and large, other than this morning, I kind of had a mini crash. But here I am, like Jack in the Box, you know, you pop back up. But then I thought to myself, you know, Lord, here's what I realized about myself. You know when the Bible says, the maker of heaven and earth, he's your keeper. And I stop right there, and what I really want sometimes, and I'm sure you're this way too, because I pray about all these things, and I'm sure many of you do too. You're praying about the problems. The Bible tells us to. The Bible says in everything, through prayer and pleading, I plead, and interceding, with thanksgiving, make these requests known to God. And you do that, and you give thanks, the peace of God will be with you. And I realized something about myself. What I really wanted God to do was a creation miracle. You know, 1 day, 2 day, 3 day, 45 to 6 days, it's all done. Now I can handle that. 6 days, okay, Lord, give me a creation miracle. Solve this now. And then I began to realize that there are many miracles, like, and I'll use one that we can all relate to here, like a little precious newborn baby. That little baby doesn't come for 9 months. And depending on how long you wait to have a child, or you had to wait for a child, it could be years, but once you find out you're pregnant, you don't get the baby right away. God's busy behind the scenes, inside, according to Psalm 139, knitting that child together in a mother's womb. Now, of course, I know, you know, you see your little tummy grow and dad can see it, so it gives you a little hope and you see a little progress. But then, of course, you get to that point, you're like, I want this kid out of here, but it doesn't come out of there for a while. And you got to go to the bathroom a lot, and there's a lot of inconveniences. And then, we all know this, hate to break the news to you, but your little miracle is birthed after a ton of pain. And then you have the baby, and it's like, well, who cares about the pain? Give me the baby. I mean, you know, yeah, you care, because it takes a little while, and you know, but then it's gone. You have this baby. And I started to look around. I was at a park as I thought about this, and I started to look around at the trees, and I started to look about the things we plant. And I thought, you know, all of these start. They're not instantaneous. You wait. Maybe you've planted a little strawberry patch in your yard, or a little raspberry bush. It takes a couple seasons. Or maybe you planted a little apple grove, and it takes some time. But eventually, you have your miracle. And that's how God works the majority of the time in my life and in yours. He always comes through in His time. Silly illustration. It's true. True story. So I bought my first house 15 years ago. And after I was living there for a while, one day I noticed some water like dripping. I'm pretty observant. And I heard this funny sound. So I went into the laundry room and I see this stream just shooting across the. I look up at the pipe. I'm like, what? Who's ever heard of such a thing? These are like plastic pipes, you know. What is this? So I call the plumber, and he comes over, and he goes, that's weird, Mark. Yeah, well, we should be able to fix that. But he can't fix it. He can't fix it because they're illegal pipes. They don't sell parts for the pipes, and there's a huge lawsuit over my pipes. I didn't know that. Did you know there was a lawsuit over PCV pipes? I didn't know there was a lawsuit, $1 billion lawsuit. So anyway, the first plumber, he walks away, he goes, well, let's turn the water off. And then we wrapped a bunch of tape and put a rubber thing around it and clamps. And I called a friend, and my friend, his name is Gary, And he starts laughing when I tell him this. He goes, Mark, actually, it's a good thing I'm your friend because it's illegal for us to even work on him. But because you're my friend, guess what? In my backyard, I have a giant junk pile. He's a plumber. And I have those exact pipes and I have the exact crimpers. And I'm probably the only guy in all of Minneapolis. I'll be right over. So he comes over for $75. He fixed my pipes. And then he looks at me and he goes, Mark, if I were you, I'd either move or get these replaced really quick with PEX plumbing. It's called PEX. It's the new kind of pipe that, you know, is guaranteed and all that. I'm like, well, I don't have, how much is it? Oh, he said about $2,500. I don't have the money. 4 years later, I'm in Honduras. And it's between one of my speaking engagements, and I happened to be back in my room, and I was flashing, going through the, you know, cable channels in Spanish. And then I come to one that's in English, and all of a sudden there's a commercial. There's my pipes on TV. And all of a sudden they say, if you have these pipes fitting, blah, 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 and if your fittings look like this, there's a $1 billion lawsuit. Call this number. You'll probably get your pipes replaced for free. And I'm thinking, oh, thank you, Lord. Praise God. God comes through. See, God comes through. This is beautiful. So I get home, and I call the people on the phone. They go, I describe the thing. I've said, yeah, I've already had 2 leaks. He goes, yep, sounds just like the pipe. I described the numbers on it. He goes, yep, those are the pipes. We'll send out a claim adjuster real soon. You've got to take pictures and all that. I said, okay. So I'm thinking, boy, this just is so wonderful. God is so faithful. Of course he is. The guy comes out. He takes pictures. He turns my claim in. They reject it. They reject it because evidently I owned the home, closed on it, 1 month too late. I'm like, what does 1 month too late have to do with it? They're your pipes. They're illegal. He goes, we're sorry, sir. And I'm like, oh, I guess I misread that blessing, God. Thank you very much. Now what am I going to do? Well, I had another massive leak. Only this leak happened in the nighttime. You talk about having worries. Imagine trying to go to sleep when you're wondering, is a pipe going to burst? Oh, my gosh. Is it going to flood? Yes, right over Micah's room. And it just is like a little child going pee-pee, and it just squirted. It just squirted all night. Little pinhole. A pinhole leak. Soaked the ceiling. Starts dripping down. I wake up the next day. I'm like, words shouldn't have come out. But anyway, so I had the plumber come, and he cut out the bad part. He puts in the new part. He goes, Mark, you really got to deal with these sometime. I go, yeah, that'd be nice. I don't have $2,000. So I also needed a roof, and it was time, and roofs are expensive, and so this is a year ago. So I just, one day I was out praying, I said, you know, Lord, I know nobody else wants this, but will you just bring down some hail, Lord? Just some hail. I need some hail. Hail damage my house. I know my roof's 27 years old. It's old organic roofing, and they probably won't cover it, but we won't know till we try. So, Lord, just some hail. I'm serious. I really did. Send, you know, it's happened before, but they didn't cover nothing. Sure enough, a month later, hail. We get hail. Glorious hail. I'm out collecting some of it. I'm like, look, these are pretty big. This ought to work. So I can't wait the next morning. I get up. I call the claims adjuster. He goes, yeah, a bunch of houses. He said, well, can you come out? He goes, sure, we'll be out. So he comes out, and I brought a contractor friend out. And they wrangle a little bit. He decides to cover my whole roof. Then he starts looking around and goes, well, you got a few windows. They look dinged. I can't notice nothing. I'm like, I ain't telling nobody, but I ain't replacing the windows. And so next thing I know, he gives me a check. And the check covers the roof and $2,000 left over for all my pipes. Instead of doing the windows, which you can't really tell are damaged, I did the pipes. Now, that's a tacky, funny, hilarious story. Well, maybe not so hilarious, but it's true. To show how God didn't do what I thought he was going to do. And to be honest, you can lose a little sleep when you're leaving the house and you're wondering, I wonder if I'm going to come back and one of the pipes sprung a leak because you just don't know. That's how bad these pipes were. God comes through. God is behind the scenes, invisibly, all the time, working everything out in our life for good. And what I often miss out on, and you and I often miss out on, is the joy of and the confidence of that truth. It's still true, but we go through life as though it's not. And we're weighed down, and we're burdened, and our heart is heavy, and our mind is just, well, listen, you know, you ever feel like you're on the verge of insanity? You ever feel like you're just, I'm going to go crazy. What's going on here? Lord, this guy's falling over here, this guy's falling over there. And then I step back and I look. I wonder how Moses felt. Being sent out to the desert with 2 million people, no refrigerators, and no food. I wonder if he went a little stir crazy sometimes. I'm sure that he did. And I'm sure that he learned in this humongous, incredible, difficult situation, God comes through. God comes through. God is always on the job. And you are God's number one priority. He is working in ways you may not see, you may not know. But God is a God of action. He is not some passive God. His hands are busy working over your life. They really, truly are. You can find this throughout Scripture. I will call unto God Most High, to God who accomplishes all things for me. Jesus said, I went over this today just to confirm, in John chapter 5, I believe it's verse 17, my Father is working until now, and I am working. One version put it this way. This was really cool. The Pharisees had come to him. They were upset with him that he worked on the Sabbath. And Jesus said, my Father's working on the Sabbath. My Father is always working, and so am I. And I just stepped back again from that, just thinking, wow, Lord, this is incredible. You're not just watching over me like watching over me. You're working over me. You're busy. You're maneuvering. You're moving pieces. You're bringing things together. And boom, voila, he calls into being that which does not exist. He just calls it up. He works it out. And God is working everything in our lives for our good. What he wants us is to experience the joy of knowing that before it actually happens. Father, we just thank you tonight for the joy that we have in Jesus Christ, the joy that we have in the knowledge of your power and your goodness and your comfort and your compassion. You do not flub up our life, Lord. I say just with anyone else, that's not always easy to believe in face of the evidence. When we're faced with the traumatic things or the distressing things that happen to us or in us or around us. But it's true. It's true. And Lord, I want you to take me deeper in the joy of God. I want you to take me, Lord, deeper in not entertaining worry, but in rejoicing always. And I thank you, Lord, today that you've allowed these things in my life to help me understand that my God is an active God. My God is a busy God. My God never takes a break, never rests, never pauses, never takes his eye off of me or you or any one of us. You always, always work all things for good. Remind us of that, Lord. Comfort each and every person here tonight, because I know, I pray for many of them, I know there are many difficult things going on. Show them your goodness and glory, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.